Welcome to the Solution Focused Schools Unlimited podcast series. My name is Dr. Linda Metcalf, and I'm the author of Counseling Towards Solutions, the first book published in 1995 that took the solution-focused approach into classrooms all around the world from kindergarten through 12th grade. Now it has been revised for the third time and is being published by Routledge. To purchase the book, go to routledge.com. Today I'm going to talk to you about something quite important in the solution-focused approach. Over the podcast that you've listened to before, by now I'm hoping that you are seeing that the solution-focused approach is more than just about questions. It is not about techniques. It is not about strategies. It is about, in fact, a mindset. The mindset that is in the solution-focused school counselor's head every single time he or she meets with a school client. I gathered together some thoughts today to talk to you about that, to me, explain what the mindset is all about. I'm going to go through those. The first idea is that school clients are experts. Whoever walks into your office, the mere fact that they are walking into your office means they want something. Perhaps they've had a visit with the administrator. Perhaps a teacher has asked them to step out of their class because they're causing such a problem in class. But if they make it down to your office and they walk in, even if their head is down and they're upset or their arms are crossed, they're there for something. And I'd like to think they're there to show me their expertise. My job is to find that expertise. That can be tough sometimes, which is my responsibility. And if they don't know it first, what they want, or how they have managed before, I'm very careful not to fill in the blank for them. I'm not going to offer my ideas of expertise to them because I don't walk in their shoes. So instead, I take my time. I'm very cautious and careful. With that mindset, if we don't come up with what they want at first, or what they have done before to cope with things, I might say, hey, let's take a break. And here's a paper. As you go through the day, I'd like for you to think about things that you've done before that have worked for you, or that you'd like your teacher to begin to notice about you. And then tomorrow I'm going to come find you, and I can't wait to see what you're going to tell me. The second idea of the mindset is that there is always an exception. A student that comes in to your office being at school after a tough day, but still comes back the next day and comes back because he or she is still upset, is an exception. They're doing something besides staying away from you, or they're doing something besides causing another problem in a classroom. They're coming back because things are still tough. That's an exception. The solution-focused school counselor has the mindset that what is the most important thing that he or she can do every time they look at a student or a teacher or a parent is to listen and empathize and then begin to seek out exceptions, because those are the golden ideas that when presented to a school client can make all the difference in how they feel about themselves. Always, there is an exception. Number three, no matter what is going on with a student, parent, or teacher, I will always listen. I will empathize. But one thing I will not do is inquire about the problem. Never. I'm not going to inquire when something started that caused them to get in trouble or get off track and fail a class. I'm not going to inquire why they got in trouble on the playground, why they're being possibly expelled over the next few days. Instead, I'm going to continue to listen and then go above every single thing they're saying with respect and say, so with all of this going on, what are your best hopes for our conversation? If they're an elementary school student, I might say, so as we talk today, if you had a wish of something we could talk about that would be the most helpful to you, what might you wish for? This allows me to listen and be respectful of what the school client is going through, or what a teacher is going through, or a parent is going through, but then right away step into solution building with them by asking them, so what are your best hopes in regard to this situation? What is your wish for us as we talk? That puts the solution building into their lap, and they become the ones responsible for telling me what they want. My job then is to simply navigate along with them where they're going and begin to find out what it's going to look like when they get there. And the last idea is the preferred future, which if you've listened to my podcast, you know that what I'm always seeking is the preferred future. That's why I ask, what are your best hopes? That typically results in conversation that we tend to clarify and clarify until it's so clear and we have so many details. The school client can walk out of my office with an idea pretty clear on what he or she might try for a short amount of time. And that's something too, at the end that I just said, a very short amount of time. You know, you may see a school client and you might think, gosh, if just for the rest of the school year, this kid would turn in at least 4 assignments a week out of 5, things would go well for him. But we're not going to think about the whole school year. We're going to go slow. And we might just say, just for the next class you go back to, what might you do to show the teacher the kind of student you really are? What else might she see? What else might he see as your teacher that would tell him something is going on with you? Something is working better for you. What else? I'm going to ask what else at least 10 times. So that again, by the time the school client and I finish our conversation, I have a list. I'll make that copy of the list, hand it to the school client, and off they go. What happens with a mindset like this, if you notice from these very short scenarios, is that I'm not working too hard, am I? The person who's working hard is the person who's seeking my help. By coming to know them as an expert, and seeing them as somebody who could be the master of their preferred future, I'm taking the time to simply ask questions that help them find out where they want to go. So I thought one way to maybe get across the ideas of what it's like to live with a mindset of a solution-focused educator, I might give several scenarios for us to consider today as I do this podcast. I've gotten these scenarios from a variety of sources, and they seem to be rather typical ones. And so I'm trying to give you an example of how I might look at such scenarios with a solution-focused mindset. First one might be, suppose I'm a school counselor and I walk into the office and there's a student sitting near the administrative office. This time, she has done something else on the playground or in the cafeteria. And since it's another time, suspension is on the table. And her attitude is not good. She's saying, I don't care. They can do what they want. I don't care. First of all, I'm not going to believe that she doesn't care. She could have run off, she could have done something else, but she's in that office sitting there and she's upset. So I might say, hey, let's go back and talk in my office for just a few minutes. And as she sits down, she may sit back and cross her arms and have the attitude, and I'm going, you know, this really must be awful for you. I know I've seen you in the office recently, and here we are again. I'm wondering, you know, what is it that maybe... What is it about you that maybe your teachers and administrators aren't seeing yet? Now, that's a different kind of question, isn't it? And it's intended to be a different kind of question. I'm not going to inquire about the problem. That will not really do me any good because she's not happy and she's got an attitude, quote, you might say. But usually when I ask a question like that to a student who's facing something kind of serious like a suspension, they just don't see me miss. They don't know what I deal with. They don't know what it's like at my house. They don't know anything about me. I say, you know, that is, I'll bet so. Can you tell me a little bit about who you are? I'm very interested in knowing. who you are. We may spend a little time talking about the things she likes to do, the things she wishes other people noticed about her. And all along as we do those things, I'm going to be making a list. What do you wish people noticed about you, I might ask. And she said, well, they ought to notice that I really can draw well. I'm pretty good at that. And I have friends, and they say I'm nice at times. Okay, well, what else? Well, you know, in one of my classes, I don't have a problem. That teacher, she gets me. You know, she likes me. I might say, wow, so she likes you and she gets you. What is it that she gets about you that other people aren't getting yet? Well, she said, I sometimes don't understand work, and she's always really good. She'll look at me, and if she thinks that I'm not getting it, she'll walk over and she'll say, hey, let's talk about this. And that really helps me because it makes me think that she really cares about me. The others don't really care. They just want me out of their classroom. So, oh, that's such a shame. So I wonder if other teachers began to do things like check on you and see if you understood, would that make a difference? Well, yeah. So, okay, what else is it? Maybe I know you got in trouble in the cafeteria today, it looks like. And I wonder, what is it maybe that you forgot to show people, such as teachers or other people who are monitoring the cafeteria? What is it that you forgot to do today so that the suspension thing wouldn't be on the table? And she said, well, I get bully miss. You know, I don't have nice clothes like some of these other kids do. And so I get an attitude and let them think I don't care. I do care, but this is the only way I know how to fight back. Oh, okay. Okay, so if those people were in here, what do you wish they knew about you? Well, she said, maybe I wish that they knew that I'd like to have things like they've got, but I can't. My family doesn't have money like that. Ah, and I wonder what that would do for you if they understood that kind of thing about you. Well, she said, maybe they wouldn't bully me so much. I said, gosh, I wonder if I know you've got to go to the cafeteria in a little bit today. I wonder what you might do too to help those kids not bully you as much, so that maybe they could begin to see this kid I'm seeing in my office, which, I think you're pretty nice, you're pretty kind, you're explaining all this stuff to me. I wonder what you might do just as an experiment today at lunch, so that people would see that side of you that I see. And she might say, I don't know, miss, I don't know. And I might say back, you know, I don't know either, but all I do know is that it's January, and I know there's only been a few times this semester that you've had to come into the administrator's office, and earlier in the school year, it seems like no one in this office saw you very much. What was going on back then, early in the school year, that kept you from having to come to the administration office? She said, well, you know, my friends were different back then, early in the school year. Yeah. I sat at a table with them, and we had fun at lunch, and I liked them. They were kind of like me, you know. But a couple of them moved away, and now one of them doesn't come to school because she got sick. And so I had to find other people to sit with, and I guess it's not working out too well with these kids. Oh. So, you know, what I wonder is, I might say to her, is as you go back and sit in the administration office, I'd like for you to think about some other kids who might be a little bit more of a match for you, that might be able to see you like you are in here, like the kid I see right now, who's, you know, she seems like she wants something good for herself. And again, you've had success early in the school year. How about we think, would that be okay if you, as you sat out there, you thought of some kids that you might hook up with at lunch today, just as an experiment, so that maybe just by being with them, possibly things might be better for you? And she might look at me and say, I don't know, maybe. Okay, well, would it be okay if we did that? And by the way, I've been making a list here of things that you said have worked for you before, you know, with the teacher that comes over and asks you if things are okay, and that seems to help you. And you just said maybe hanging out with other kids, you know, like you did in the fall, was helpful to you. Would you mind just taking this with you? I'll make a copy for you. And one more thing before you leave. You and I have been talking, and would it be okay if, before you leave, you and I wrote an email to the rest of your teachers and let them know that you and I are talking about ways to help you get back on track at school? And one of the things that you say might help would be if they give you an assignment, if they would kind of watch and see if you understood. Would you mind if we put that email together right now before you go into the office again? And then I might have the student sit next to me or close by, and we might construct an email that went something like this. Dear teachers, Sally Smith and I have talked, and she's told me that sometimes in class, one thing that might help her is if she got a little bit of a personal time with you after you give an assignment so that she can ask questions, or if you could just walk over and ask if she had a question. She's telling me that might make a difference to how her class goes in your class. Would you mind trying that out just for the next day or so? Oh, and one more thing I might have asked Sally too is, and I might even ask her this while I'm writing the email, Sally, let's imagine that your teachers do this, that they begin to maybe give an assignment and walk over to you and say, Sally, hey, everything okay? Do we need any extra ideas from me on this assignment? And I asked Sally, as a result of teachers trying that out, what might you be willing to do just for the next few days? And it's been my experience, everyone, that when I ask kids questions like that, after I'm going to the extent of writing this email and giving them things back that they've said would work for them, the kids are often pretty open to saying, well, maybe I'll try and be nicer to the teacher, or something like that. And so we get an answer from the student like that, and then I might say, is it okay if I add that into this email, that Sally is willing to try to do things a little bit different on her part too, if you're able to ask her at times if she understands an assignment. Dear teacher, I do hope that you'll try this out, because Sally is wanting to try it out too. And then I'll sign it, and I'll ask her if it's okay if I put her name on that email too. And we both sit there as I send it right off into the wild internet. And I look at her and say, hey, listen, I know you're going to go back into the office and wait, and then I think the administrator is going to be talking to you. Would it be okay if I mention this to him too, before he talks to you, that you and I have kind of a plan? Would you mind? Usually the kids would say, it's okay, miss, you can tell him. And then I might go in and might tell the administrator what Sally has a plan to do. And I might also ask Sally if it's okay if I shared with her what teachers do sometimes that helps her. So in my experience then, as a school counselor, when I have the chance to make comments like that to an administrator who only sees one kind of Sally, that this gives him or her a chance to see a different side of Sally. A Sally who's got maybe a plan to make things slightly better. Sometimes the administrator may say, hey, okay, let's try that out before we get into suspension or talking about suspension, Sally, I'll give you a day. Sometimes they'll do that. And that, to me, shows kids what we as educators are all about, that we're trying to see that expert inside of each student. And sometimes they might just need one more chance, but with a different slant. I'm not saying to Sally, you better go back to class and not get in trouble. Administrator's not saying, look, I'm going to be watching you. One slip and you're out of here. Nope. We're saying, you've told us some things that might help you. You said you're willing to try some things in response to what teachers might try. I'm willing to take a bet on that. Imagine the difference that can make. And by the way, everyone, I've done this so many times with kids as an elementary and high school counselor. And every time I've done that, I've seen even the most adamant kids just kind of soften in front of me. I love asking them things like, who are you really? Who do you wish other people would see? It really takes us out of that problematic thinking into solution building, and they get a chance to tell me who they want others to see. Here's one last scenario that maybe is something that's a little common for those of you who are a school counselor or even administrator. Perhaps there are two or three teachers who just seem to consistently come and talk to you about kids they just can't handle. And hey, it is different right now. We're still in a pandemic, and it is tough. Kids are struggling with mental health, as are our teachers. But too often they come in to talk to a school counselor with a request, just tell me what to do with the student, or can you just take him out of my class and keep him with you for a while? Everyone, if we do that, we're going to find ourselves in a cycle where this is going to be a consistent dependence upon us. The mindset of a solution-focused school counselor doesn't want dependence. She wants, or he wants, independence from teachers, students, and parents, and that's achieved by using the solution-focused approach. So if I had a teacher who came into my office, and as a school counselor, I had them come in a lot. Actually, when they began to watch how I was working, they'd come in and say, okay, I know you do stuff different. I've got one for you. Here, see what you can do with this. You know, that's how they set the stage. But when they did that even, I would smile at them and say, sure, have a seat. Then I'd look at the expert in front of me. It wasn't that they could change that student, and it certainly wasn't that I could change that student, but they're the ones who wanted the change, right? So we're not going to talk about how to change that student. No, we're going to talk about what the teacher in front of me, my new expert, can do to change the approach that she's using with that student. You know, it goes back to something I learned in my family therapy courses, because I'm a family therapist, that in a system, and between student and teacher, that's a little system. Between me and the teacher and the student, that's another system. And a classroom is a great big system, as is a whole school. When one person does something different in a system, there is going to be some kind of change. So I might talk to the teacher who's coming to see me in January, who has not come to talk to me about a student in a month or so, to take me back to a time when the student was doing somewhat okay in their class, and they weren't as tough to handle. That usually meets with a little bit of silence, and it's a surprise. And the teachers start thinking. Some come up with things pretty quickly, some do not. Again, if they can't, I'm not going to fill in the blank for them. I'm going to ask them to go out, watch the student in that class that day, and watch for something different that they almost appreciate about that student. Almost. It could be anything. But I'm not going to give them answers. Doing that makes them dependent on me for every answer they're on. Instead, I'm going to do something that makes them think they can go out and watch for it. So for that teacher who says, well, you know, come to think of it, a month ago we had exercises and we had things in PE that he seemed to really like. He liked basketball. And you know what? On occasion, I see him, you know, get people quiet whenever I was trying to talk. Wow, really? What was it about basketball, I wonder? I said, heavens, I don't know. All I know is now when we're doing softball, he could care less. I wonder what it would be like. Would you be willing to ask him or mention to him that, you know, things are kind of off track right now, but what was it about basketball that you liked so much? Because it seemed like, Ms. Johnson, that at least with basketball, he was doing somewhat of what you wanted him to do. Am I right about that? Well, yeah, I couldn't think of what he was. Okay, so would you mind just doing that just when you see him again? And hey, if you want me to come along and listen with you and we could both ask him questions around that, I'm happy to do that for you too. But notice, I didn't tell her to do anything except to go and watch and go and talk to him. Because you see, when teachers complain about kids misbehaving, what they forget to do is to notice the times they're not misbehaving. And they really forget to ask the student, hey, what was it about yesterday? You paid attention in class, and gosh, that made such a big difference for me. I cannot tell you. It was so awesome. That kind of interaction can be priceless. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. It went a little longer than normal, but I think it was something that made sense to me as we start the spring semester in 2022. I have an assignment for you as a podcast listener. As you hang up and you stop listening to this podcast, and maybe you're at school, or you're going to school, or you're leaving school, the next time you see a student, parent, or teacher in the hallway that you haven't seen in a while, they haven't come by to complain, they haven't come by when they're in trouble, they haven't been referred, don't just say hello. Walk up to them and go, oh my goodness, you know what? I haven't seen you in 3 weeks, and you look good. Tell me, what's going well for you? This is a proactive approach to helping somebody realize what they often don't realize when things are going well. And ask them, how have you done this? How have you managed to stay away from my office? And Ms. Johnson, how is it I haven't seen you in a while? And I walk by your class and your students are on task and it seems like things are going well for you. What's going on? What are you doing that's working so well? We rarely think about the things we do well. But here's the thing, everyone. Those are the solutions that we can always refer to when things don't go so well. So on this coming week, I'd like for you to watch out for those things that maybe even you've done well. When you find yourself feeling happy, leaving school with a good feeling inside of yourself, ask yourself, what did I do during the day, if anything, that helped me to feel the way I'm feeling right now? These are coping mechanisms for days when things get off track. It's also a way to amplify change for teachers and students who have done work with you, so that should they get stuck again, you just help them recognize the things that they've done before that work. May you have a great week and a good month, and may the Solution Force always be with you. Just wanted to let you all know that there is a wealth of free resources on my website. All you need to do is to plug in solutionfocusedschool.com into your browser, and you will come up to my website. At the top of the page, you'll see a place that says free resources. Click on that, and a pop-up will happen where you simply put in your name and email, and you will have access to all kinds of free webinars, resources, handouts that I keep on creating for you. Thank you for your support. And again, may the Solution Force be with you.